last question I've got written down. How did you find yourself at the camp and how long were you there for?
Okay. I never stayed at the camp overnight.
Right, okay.
I visited on at least 3 occasions, possibly more, because such a long time ago I can't remember.
Yeah, no.
And I came to it because I've been in CND ever since I was at school. I went on much, it's quite a long time as you can imagine.
Oh.
So I went to my first Aldermaster March when I was about 16. How my father let me go, I have no idea, because he was incredibly protective. But I did go, and then 1 year I went with my brother. And it was amazing. I met some fantastic people, people I'd never met before, who were really accepting of everybody, people that were different.
Yeah.
And I was a terrible teenager. I was really shy. I was tall and skinny and really shy, and I didn't feel I fitted in anywhere.
No.
But there, with those people, I felt completely relaxed, at home, and a lot of them were Quakers.
Yeah.
And we did a lot of singing, and it was just wonderful, wonderful atmosphere with blisters.
Oh, no.
So really, on and off, I mean, I'm not an active member of CND anymore, although I still believe in it.
Yeah.
But that's what brought me to Greenham Common, was really my kind of more or less lifelong interest in being against nuclear weapons and then subsequently against nuclear power.
Okay. How did you hear about it, that it was going on?
What, Greenham?
Yeah, how did you...
It would have been through my local CND group. I was living in Kingston at the time in Surrey.
Oh, right.
And I'm guessing that's how I knew about it.
Okay.
Or it might have been, at that time I was also at college as a mature student, and it might have been through the Students' Union that I heard about it. Because I went with some friends that I have went, they weren't at the same uni as me, but they were friends I had around that time. I went with them.
Okay, cool. Could you explain why you think Greenham should be remembered in subsequent generations?
It was a formative experience going to Greenham.
Really?
It was incredibly powerful. I was there, and the women, all of us were really angry, and I can remember occasions when we just got hold of the fence and rocked it with the aim to bring it down. I don't think we ever actually did bring it down, at least not the bit where I was.
No.
But I remember the faces of the young soldiers the other side of the fence, and they were terrified. Yeah. You know, we were like their mothers and their grandmothers and their aunts, you know, and they had never seen women so angry, so many women together so angry. It was really, really powerful.
Okay.
And I met some great women.
Yeah.
And I saw some wonderful sights.
Yeah.
And it was fabulous knowing that I wasn't alone.
No.
Yeah.
Did you keep in touch with a lot of the women there? Or?
No, not really, no. I met friends there from other parts of the country who were all already my friends who had arrived there.
Yeah.
I went with friends. And I went with my daughter 1 year. My daughter must have been about 11 or 12. I've written some notes. Let me just...
Okay, that's fine.
Just,
I'll just check this. Yeah, that's fine. It's recording, which is good.
And I... Yeah...
Okay.
Yeah, so 82, I think I would have gone with Lucy, and she would have been 12 because she was born in 1970.
Oh, okay.
And so very, very, I was asking her about it recently, if she could remember things that I can't remember.
Yeah.
And the only thing she remembered was peeing in the woods. It was a very long time ago, and she's had 3 children since then. So.
Okay.
Wow. But I do think it was a formative experience for her.
Just one of the youngest there, then, I imagine.
There were loads of children there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. On the because we went for the demonstrations.
Okay.
So we went we went to Embrace the Base in December 1982.
Right.
And that I've got some photos of that.
Okay. That's cool.
And we also went in April 83. I went with some friends, and I've got some photos of that, where we made... Yeah. There was a human chain from Aldermaston to Greenham.
Okay.
So I've forgotten the question now.
So have I. Oh, just about the
oh, what did I remember about it?
Yeah. What was I going to say? These are just questions that I'm coming off the top of my head now. How come you didn't stay over?
Because I have work and I had Lucy, and I considered those to be my number one responsibilities.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Crazy when you think people stayed and they
had... Well, I had every respect for them.
Yeah, definitely.
Every respect for them, but it wasn't for me.
No.
So that was my bit. Yeah. I did go on my own once and took some food for them.
Okay.
So I did go to some of the different camps, the different coloured camps around the perimeter. But I really thought it was most important to be there for the Embrace the Basin, for the human chain, for the big, when, you know, there were going to be thousands of women there. I really wanted to add my voice.
So you wanted to go for the,
like
the bigger, as you said, demonstrations, not all the time as such.
No.
Just, yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I was a single parent. And if I lost my job,
oh my gosh,
who knows what would happen?
Exactly.
So I was not prepared to sacrifice my whole life, but I just wanted to be part of it.
And that's important.
Yeah.
It's just important that you were there at all, really.
Yeah.
So
I got a few things here. I wrote down some impressions.
Oh, brilliant.
So one thing was the fantastic imagery and poetry of the posters and the art tied to the fence. I've got some examples of that. And that's really powerful.
Is it?
And that one.
Gosh. Thank you. Wow.
And there she is. Thatcher has seen the error of her ways. Unfortunately not.
Mm.
And women Morris dancers.
I've seen Morris dancers actually,
yeah.
In Marshfield.
And then there was the wonderful art that people did around the perimeter that with tree roots.
Oh right.
Where is it? Just found, where are they? Oh, there they are. Look.
Yeah.
Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah.
They are like creatures coming out of the forest and climbing over the fence.
Oh my gosh, right, it does look like it as well.
So I could scan all those and email them to you if you want them.
Yeah.
I've got more here.
They just told me at the minute just to write that you've got them down, and then I guess I'll be in contact.
Okay.
I'll message them after the meeting.
Okay. The other thing I remember was this curious combination of humour,
really,
and joy, and hope, and fury.
All those in one.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we sang You Can't Kill the Spirit, She's Like a Mountain. And
sounds emotional.
It was. I don't think I'd ever experienced the power of women together until that moment, to be honest.
No, it's weird because when I heard about the project about 3 months ago, which was when they were starting to get people in and call people in to interview. Before they even got any funding or anything, I had an email from my UE lecturer saying, we've got this project, because I think UE are sponsoring it.
Oh, are they? Okay.
I think so. I got an email and said, do you want to be part of it? Like, and I emailed back and said, yes, I would love to. And I had to Google what it was, because I didn't know even what it was.
Oh my God.
And I thought, this is like the second biggest women's movement in the world. And I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
It's crazy that...
And then I
said to my parents, my mum's 50, and I said to her about it. She was like, yeah, I remember that it happened, but it just hasn't been passed down.
That's terrible.
If that's just me, or if it's a lot of young people don't know about
it. No, I don't think anybody knows about it. It's really bad. Really, really bad.
It is bad. Do you know why that would be? Do you have any sort of thoughts about that? I don't know.
I don't know, I suppose. I suppose there wasn't an organisation,
right,
in that sense to carry the ideas forward.
Right.
It was thousands and thousands of individual women, groups of friends. I mean, something I was doing this morning, I've got some other photos that I would like to share, but they're photos of my friends, and it suddenly occurred to me I needed to ask their permission.
Yeah.
And I just hadn't thought it through.
No.
So I've emailed this morning, because they're friends I'm not in touch with, or only very, very rarely see, once a year, something like that, who live in Brighton, some of them, and or Devon. Somebody else lives in Devon. I don't even know where half of them are.
Wow.
But... And so I thought, I really want to talk to them about it and see what they remember.
We've got two of them, Brian, actually, on the sheet.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are, but it might be them. We've got so many women at the minute that have gone forward. It's crazy.
Oh, that's great.
From everywhere, from so Ireland, everything.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
I think people from abroad.
People did travel from abroad, yeah.
They did. Is it a lot of people,
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
They did mention that we had a meeting about it, and we all met up in November. There was a woman actually there that was at Greenham as well, which was quite nice. And we were all talking about what happened, and we had a slideshow of all the photos and everything, and we had some videos.
Mm.
And a young guy was interviewing, like I'm doing to you now, he was interviewing a woman at Greenham about 10 years ago. But you could tell that he just didn't know a lot about it, so the interview wasn't very good because he didn't get a lot out of it, and it was just trying to learn how to get people to open up. But I don't know maybe because he was also a male. I don't know if that made a difference. I'm not sure, but it was, and that was the first time I'd ever seen the photos from Greenham as well. It was really overwhelming that day. I came home and I just wanted to like just tell everyone everything.
There is a fabulous video about Greenham. Have you not seen it?
I think we must have seen.
You probably have done.
Yeah, I think we did see about.
Because I found it pretty quickly on YouTube.
Did you?
So yeah.
I think we probably did.
Yeah.
Let's see what I've got written down.
I think people just moved on.
I think so.
There were other things to fight about. There were other things going on. There was just the terrible Thatcher years, and there was the miners' strike, wasn't there? I was really involved with that for a few years.
Okay.
And you can't fight on every front. And I think once we realised the cruise missiles were going, it kind of felt like, well,
done.
Yeah.
Done what you were there to do.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because a lot of things happen at the same time then?
Could be that, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And it went on till 2000, the camp.
Yeah, I didn't go back. I think I only went in the early
80s. Oh,
right, okay. The missiles left the base in
1991. Oh, 1991. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, that was just before I was born. But still crazy that the suffragette movement was so massive, and there didn't have really any media, hardly any media then.
No.
And yet it was so, but then again, because I think, I was talking about this to somebody else, because they got the vote and that was such a massive thing for women and it changed everything, maybe that was why, I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to think about it for ages, but it's difficult when I don't know, because I wasn't around in that era, I don't know what happened sort of close to that that would make people not, because you had the media back then as well.
Yeah.
So it couldn't have really been.
Well, we didn't have social media.
No.
It was newspapers, and I guess the Guardian probably would have been sympathetic and would have written sympathetic articles, and the Morning Star. But that's about it. All the other newspapers would have said we were mad lesbian feminists, anarchists, communists. Do you know, they would have just painted us as, just mad women. In fact, I think I remember that's what they did.
I think I've read some stuff about stuff like that, Do you think it got more negative than positive?
Definitely. Really? Well, the media is just the same as it is now.
Yeah.
Was owned, although it's worse now than it was then. But even so, in those days, there was really only, maybe the Daily Mirror.
Right.
the Morning Star and the Guardian would be the only ones that would report in any way positively about what we were doing. But even then, you know, because the women who did stay at the camp had abandoned their role as mothers and wives and whatever, you know, they were accused of neglecting their children, right, and all the rest of it. And, you know, yeah. So it was, you know, the usual kind of stereotypical, yes, descriptions of women who speak up for themselves.
Yes.
Who have got an opinion and who, yes, want to change things.
And it's ironic to me because the fact that they were women makes it even more, I don't know what the right word is, but because they were the ones that had the children, and, yeah, and they left their families, or they brought the families with them, because they were the ones that didn't really have much of a voice as men, that's why it was so important for them to be there.
Absolutely. And they were thinking about their children's future, most definitely they
exactly
were.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, exactly. And I sort of thought, well, they were thinking of people my age, they were thinking, I wasn't even born then, but they were thinking of people like me and how my life could be more peaceful. Yeah, it's really, really amazing. Mm. Just some of the questions I've got on here, so I don't forget to ask it. That's a good one. How did your experiences change your relationships with men or authority figures?
They didn't change my relationship with men at all. Except, well, I don't know if it would have changed my relationship with men,
okay,
but I, as I said, it was the first time in my life I'd ever seen this amazing power of thousands of women together.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I mean, that was just mind-blowing. But I had a very supportive boyfriend at that time.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, and I was living, you know, in no way was I constrained by my relationship with him. I was living the life I wanted to lead. I was at college as a mature student.
Okay.
Actually, no, when in 1982, I'd already split up with him, actually.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, but, or, you know, it was not a kind of fractious or difficult, right, breakup. It just wasn't working for us. But, yeah, no, I was living the life I wanted to lead. I'd gone to university complete without any idea of, this is what you could do in those days. I had no idea of a career, just I didn't want to be a typist anymore. Because
no.
I was a typist in a translation agency, which was really interesting, and they were lovely people, but all I was ever doing was other people's work, just typing it up, because this is before computers.
Yeah.
So we had these word processing machines.
Okay.
So going to uni, I did development studies, and I was absolutely fascinated, wow, by it, and I'd do the homework, I'd go to the seminars, I always had opinions about everything, you know, because you've been working in an office for 5 years and you're bored out of your crust. Going to university and being able to sit in the library and read interesting books, just like it's being great in heaven. So
it's like exactly the same as me.
Yeah.
Exactly the same, literally. I worked for 5 years, I'm 25 now, and I worked from when I was full time from when I was about 18 to when I was about 24, and then last year I went to uni.
Yeah.
And it's freedom.
Yeah. So I didn't really feel constrained by a relationship, no, with a man in that,
right,
respect.
Okay.
And the men that I knew were, I got on with them okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So I've been very lucky in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In that respect. Yeah. I've never suffered any abuse or
that's good
any issues or problems.
That's awesome. No, that's really good, because you hear some.
So I'm afraid it didn't going to I wouldn't say that going to Greenham really changed my relationship,
okay,
with men.
That's fine, you didn't have to. It didn't have to.
Okay,
yeah, that's fine. Let's have a look what we've got on here. What was your relation like with the local residents? That's it.
Didn't see any of them.
Didn't see any.
No. No.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I mean, it's right out in the country.
Right.
You know, the women that lived at the camp would have had relationships with the local people because they would have had to go to the shops and get food and other kind of supplies.
Yeah. Okay.
And so then the locals would have identified them because of their appearance, the clothes they were wearing and their behaviour, I guess. And I'm imagining somewhere like, where's the nearest town? Is it Reading? I can't remember. But anyway, it's like English small town. And, you know, I imagine it wouldn't have been terribly easy. But
right.
Going there on the demonstration, one time we went in a bus, a friend of mine had a bus and took us in his bus. I can't remember why now.
Awesome.
I think that's the time I took Lucy. She was most impressed that we went all the way in a double-decker bus driven by this friend of mine. And then another time I went in my car, I had a little Morris Traveller. I remember that we saw someone with my friends, and one of my friends saw the police writing down my, or making a, taking a photo of my my registration number, and I thought, well, so they've got my registration number, so what, you know?
Yeah, of course.
They were probably taking them photos of everybody that was arriving.
Yeah, I assume so. One thing I actually wanted to ask was, did you see like how they ran the camp, like how they bought in, if they bought in sanitary products or clothes?
There was just masses of sharing, really.
Okay.
You'd arrive there and there'd be a bonfire or fire of some kind, and people would be sitting around drinking tea usually, and there'd be somebody in a tent making tea or whatever, maybe making some food. And then, you know, you'd just give them the food that you brought and then sit down.
Okay.
And, you know, the people would share everything and just have a cup of tea with them, have a chat with them.
Yeah, because we were all really interested in how they sort of did, how they brought the food in and the clothes.
You'd have to ask somebody who lived there. Will you have interviews with any of the women who lived there?
Yes, I believe so. I've got one in Taunton, I think, next week.
Excellent. Now that's when you'll get your really useful information.
That's fine. Yeah. Now what you've given me is super useful though.
Good.
Let me have a look. What else? I'm just looking because these are really some really, really good questions on here. Did you go to a certain gate when you got there?
I can't remember. I went to the main gate, okay. Certainly.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I know there were so
really
many.
Remember.
Blue gate? I'm trying to figure out, remember what they all were now.
Honestly, I don't remember. I think the main gate, maybe the yellow gate.
Okay.
I certainly didn't go to the violet gate because I'm not religious.
No.
I might have gone to the green gate. I really can't remember.
That's fine. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
A lot happened as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think that some of the most powerful things... Well, when we circled the base, and we were all holding hands, and you knew that there were, you know, thousands of women because it was huge. Well, look, it's a squirrel in the tree. He's going to get the seeds. He hangs upside down.
Does
have
he?
A look.
Oh, I'm a little
You can't quite get at it. I think it's... Sorry to distract you.
I'm going to try.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, when we that was very, very powerful. And when we linked hands, there was a human chain between Aldermaston and Greenham. That's the one that I've got. I've got photos of that.
Yeah, I think I've seen some photos of that actually at the.
So yeah, that's a good one. So there's some of the people, and this wonderful marching band used to come on events.
Really?
Yeah, they were great. There's another one. and some great banners.
Thank you.
And so there's some women holding hands. And so knowing that that chain was going on for, I don't know how many miles that is from Greenham to Aldermaston.
No, I don't have a clue.
It might say here.
That's quite cold.
Yeah, it was. It was December. Was it December?
Wow.
No, it was April. Oh. April. Miles.
Wow.
Human chain from Aldermaston to. Right, that's pretty powerful. Mm. Yeah. I think that was at the main gate of that caravan. Mm. So, that thing about holding hands was just really powerful because you just knew there were thousands and thousands of other women doing it, and we were all trying to stop this evil thing that was happening to our country and to the world. It was really empowering.
Yes, to see other people doing.
To be part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just seeing it happen must have been pretty.
Yeah.
Emotional, seeing that everyone's the same as you and everyone had the same sort of, everyone was there, and also you could see how many people were there because it was 14 miles long.
Yeah.
Just tells you how many people were on that chain.
Well, we are hanging around for ages.
Were you?
It was really cold, as you can see in the photos.
Yeah, it looks cold.
And then finally we got the signal somehow, somewhere, that the chain had been formed. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, it was really, really moving.
Yeah, wow. There's one I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, ask away.
try and find it. So you talked about you had experience of, so it says, what were and have subsequently been your experiences of NVD, NVD, non-violent direct action, because you talked about that bit at the start. Did you?
Not me.
Oh, okay.
No. No, I've never done anything like that.
Never done.
But since, no.
Okay.
No.
That's fine.
And quite shortly after that, in 1984, I got my job. I started the career that I've been following ever since, which is working with cooperatives.
Okay.
And so that really took up my life. Full time.
Okay.
And I felt like, and still do, that in my work I was living my politics. So I've been on demonstrations obviously against the Iraq war, although it seems kind of pointless to be honest.
Right.
Because nobody pays any attention.
No.
But you know, you go because you just want to feel that solidarity with other people.
Okay.
So I've been on a few demonstrations, but I've never sat down in the road and allowed myself to be carried off and arrested or any of that.
Right.
I've always kind of wanted to keep my. I've never wanted to. It was never my way of working.
Okay.
My way of working is different to that.
Okay.
And I respect people that do it, but it's not for me.
No, that's fine.
So, yeah.
That's fine. So, when you left the last, did you say you went 3 or 4 times?
Yeah.
When you left the last time, did you know that was going to be the last time that you were there?
I couldn't remember which one that was, actually.
Okay, that's fine. I was just interested.
I mean, I didn't, when I left, I wouldn't have realised it was for the last time.
Right, no, of course, no. You wouldn't have said, no, not coming back anymore. No, that's cool. So how would you sum up your experience, do you think, in like a sentence, if you can, or in a couple of words?
Would one of
I don't know if it's too big for that.
No, one of the most moving and powerful experiences of my life.
Wow, okay.
Unforgettable. Although, till you got in touch with me, apparently it had been forgotten. Just was part of my path. I think I'd never forgotten it. It was just like part of my history, part of what made me the person I am, I guess.
Yeah. Were you quite young when you went there, first of all?
Early 20s.
Okay. What did you think when they got in touch with you, or you got in touch with us?
I was delighted, absolutely really? Delighted, because then I realised, of course, no one's talked about it since.
No.
And nobody knows. So I think it's a fantastic...
Yeah.
Initiative, well done, brilliant, excellent, excellent.
It is, yeah. How did you hear about it?
I think it was an email.
Okay.
Maybe it's Bristol Women's Voice.
Okay, cool. Let me have a look what else we've got on here. Some really good questions people have put on here. Is there anything you would change if you went back that you did, or... You did everything you wanted to do?
Yeah, no. No, I think there isn't. I mean, yeah. No, I don't think there is really anything that I would change.
No, that's fine.
No, in the circumstances.
Okay.
I did what I could at the time.
Yeah. Did you have any sort of, what the right word is, interaction with the police or people that were there?
No. Saw them. Probably shouted at them.
Yeah, that's probably... I think a lot of people did, to be fair.
Yeah.
How did your... I don't know if you were living with family then, because you were had children.
Yeah.
How did they feel about you going there, even if you didn't stay over just being there?
They... I can't actually remember.
No.
They would have supported me.
Yeah.
But I really can't remember.
No.
My father was extremely radical. He got more radical the older he got. And,
really?
You know, normally people get more conservative with a small c the older they get. My father was completely the opposite.
Wow.
It was great.
Do you think that's why you did things like that?
I guess. I guess I was brought up in a quite a radical, well, not that radical, to be honest. Not that radical, but
no.
Certainly, I think you could say my father certainly was quite left-leaning.
Okay.
He was a Labour candidate in Hammersmith when he was a young man.
Wow.
But he didn't have much time for the Labour Party, ever, really. He wasn't a joiner. He's the kind of person that sits in his armchair and criticises.
Oh, right, yeah, a lot of people.
But I think he would have, if I told him about it, which I would have done, I imagine, I'm pretty sure he would have been really supportive. Yeah, he would certainly wouldn't have been, he wouldn't have criticised me for going.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Okay, where did you grow up to? Did you grow up near, in London, did you say?
I was born in London. Well, I grew up in Hayward Heath in Sussex and Cookfield in Sussex.
Oh, okay.
I went to school in Brighton.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that. My parents decided to move out of London when I was about 10 and my brothers were a bit younger. So it was great. We grew up in the country. I was just young enough to enjoy climbing trees and messing around in streams and stuff like that. It was great.
Amazing.
Yeah, we were very lucky.
Up in the town, so I'm pretty jealous. We're living in the countryside now. How did you come to Bristol then? Was it when you're older?
Oh, it's a long story. I've lived all over the place.
Oh, have you?
Let's not waste your...
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I came to Bristol to be nearer my daughter and my grandchildren,
right,
to give her a bit of a hand, yeah.
That's fine. Let's have a look at what other people... I'm just trying to find sort of the questions that would sum it up the best, really. There's a lot on here. Do you keep in touch with anyone? I think we've answered that pretty well. Sorry about this. There's just so many that I wanted to sort of pick out.
That's fine. Take your time.
I don't want to sort of... some questions that are a bit too... I don't know. I wouldn't like to be asked them myself. So did it sort of, so being there, did it sort of affect you, has it sort of stayed with you, I'm guessing, because you said it stayed with you for quite a while. Is it one of the biggest things that you've done in that sort of field of
protest? In protest. I think, I didn't really discover feminism till I was quite old, so about 1981 when I went to university as a mature student.
Yeah.
Until then, I was a bit of a hippie in my youth, and so I kind of thought all of that stuff about sexism and gender didn't really apply to me because I was a hippie, which is absolutely the most stupidest thing ever. Because, you know, all of that stuff about free love, you know, well, it benefits the men, it benefits the boys, but, you know, it's the women who get pregnant or what, and, you know, perhaps they're not really ready for it and all the rest of it.
Okay.
So, and I never, I was just blind to all of that. But when I went to uni, I joined the Feminist Society, and I would say going to Greenham really strengthened my belief in feminism.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah.
Just because you could see how big it, just how...
Just seeing, just seeing the power of women together, acting together.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds similar to me. I didn't get into feminism until I started uni, because I think it opens your eyes to a lot of stuff when you start uni.
Because
you're around so many different people, and everyone's got their own voice. And you sort of think, oh my gosh, I've been working for the last, just full time, that's what I've been doing. And going home and going back out again, I haven't really been getting out too much and meeting a lot of people. I sort of came out a bit really into feminism, and it was crazy that I'm now so into it, because 2 years ago I wouldn't have even, I don't think if people would have said something to me in the street, maybe,
yeah,
I wouldn't have even, I would just laughed off, I wouldn't have even bothered to, but now I would be, I'm just crazy, I just go a bit crazy.
No, it's not crazy.
And it's just...
It's really
just,
important.
It is very important.
Yeah.
And I feel sometimes there's too much that I do, but... Or I go a bit too far, but I don't know. It's just crazy how much...
If you can't go too far when you're at uni, when can you go too far?
That's true. In every aspect.
Yeah.
No, that's very true. So was it your first year that you joined the Fem Society?
Yeah. And then I joined... Women's Aid, there was a local refuge, and I joined the management committee of that, and found out all about domestic abuse, and, you know, all just absolute horror. So I guess I kind of got involved in all of that, really. So that would have been as a result of going to Greenham. So I think it, you know, made me more aware.
Yeah, and were you part of that for the whole time at uni?
Yeah. And afterwards, yeah.
Wow, okay. I'm thinking about joining mine, so after this, I'm definitely going to. Just having the time to do all my stuff.
Well,
a lot of things at the minute. Do you sort of, you mentioned Greenham to people that you've sort of been friends with over the years?
Never. Really? Well, maybe years ago, but in recent memory, no. Never. As I said, I kind of consigned it to my history.
Okay.
And really, it was just this project and thinking about it, and thinking what trying to remember what it was like, and thinking what I wanted to say about it, has made me want to talk about it more.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing.
In fact, when I found that video on YouTube, I forwarded it to loads of people.
Did you?
Yeah. Because it's great. It's really great. It is. Yeah.
We were worried that, well, we're not worried, but we didn't know sort of what women would, if they would want to talk about it. Because because it was quite emotional for a lot of women, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think especially if you actually lived there.
Exactly. And we didn't know if they had suffered abuse or didn't know how.
Oh, there will be women who had very difficult experiences who won't want to remember it. But in itself, I think it must be remembered. And those of us who have positive memories must remember it. And, you know, my granddaughter knows nothing about it whatsoever. I've got to tell her.
Yes,
I've got to talk to her about it, yeah.
Definitely.
She's 16 and just, coming up really feisty and really opinionated, which is kind of irritating sometimes. But no, she's lovely. She's really lovely.
Nice.
But she really knows her own mind. She wants to work in the conservation of animals.
Oh, nice.
So, we'll see.
Oh, that's really cool.
She's at Sixth Form College.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So the women that were there that you saw, were they sort of around the same age, or was there a lot of people that were?
Oh, all ages. All ages. I must have been about
interested me quite a lot.
My mid to late 30s when I went there, and there were women younger than me, much younger than me, older than me, and much older than me. There were very old women there, and very young women and children.
Yeah.
Like, mostly, I would say, around in their 20s and 30s and 40s. Okay. But certainly, I saw loads of older women and loads of younger women.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
I was sort of interested in sort of what the really age range
wide age range.
Everything. I suppose everyone is not really something that you can not want to do. So.
Yeah, I imagine the people who stayed at the camp would have been younger women, because it would be quite difficult to live out in those conditions if you were older. But certainly the people that attended the demonstrations and the Embrace the Base and all the rest of it were all ages.
Okay. And were some of them quite similar to you? In that they went there only for certain or demonstrations, or they sort of went
Well, through? I guess because there weren't thousands of women living there all the time.
Right.
There were a handful of women at each gate.
Okay.
But then hundreds of thousands of women would turn up for these events.
Oh, really? So it was quite big.
Huge.
Really?
Yeah.
So a lot more people went. Yeah, sort of makes sense in a way. I sort of just pictured this massive sort of like community and loads of tents. I guess I wouldn't know what.
No, because there was the gates came out onto a road. So there wasn't a lot of space for camping.
Oh, right.
So they were quite small, the camps.
Oh, right.
At each gate.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a festival or anything like that.
No,
it was not. No.
Oh,
no.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, it would have been like if you talk to this woman at Taunton who actually stayed there, you'll get much more accurate information than I can give you.
That's fine. People have got different experiences, haven't they? A lot different. Some more interesting questions. Does it make you quite emotional talking about it, or?
Yeah, sometimes it does actually. Some of the things, yeah.
Yeah, I imagine it does. Has it made you talk about it more since you've been in touch with us? This isn't a question. I'm just curious.
Yeah. No, not really. But I will do. No, I will
that's
do.
Good.
Yeah.
Did you ever take anything into the camp for women to use? Did you ever?
I took food,
Oh, you said before?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
You'd always take something.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go empty-handed.
No, and that's really good. It means that there was a lot of stuff there at one time and people could live there because they were able to.
Yeah.
Because they had the stuff there.
Yeah. There's a video I found on YouTube that actually films the women dancing on the silo.
Oh, did they?
On New Year's Eve, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You've not seen that one?
I don't think so.
Oh, that is fantastic. It's on YouTube.
I'm going to YouTube when I go home.
Have a look.
I've seen one or two at the thingy, at the, what was it called? The presentation evening.
Mm.
A meeting we had. I don't know if you would know this or not. What was the medical treatment like there? Would you...
Never saw any.
Never saw it, that's fine.
I imagine it was DIY. Probably herbal medicine.
Do you think so? Yeah, maybe. What detail or like specific moment would you say summed up for you, if there is one that summed up for you?
I think the women trying to pull the fence down and the scared faces of the soldiers the other side of the fence. It was just like kids, really.
They just didn't know, they were overwhelmed. Men.
They had never seen anything like it.
Were they quite young?
Yeah, they were. They could have been our sons.
Gosh, yeah.
Our grandsons in some cases.
Yeah, wow.
There were some older women there as well. Just this absolute fury of just, we're going to get rid of this, it's going to go. And like, you just kind of forgot yourself and just got hold of the fence and just rocking it backwards and forwards. I think it was too strong for us to pull down, but maybe they did pull it down in some places. I can't really remember.
I
think that was probably a pretty unforgettable moment.
Yeah, because it just seems like they're just overwhelmed. They don't know what to do. They're supposed to be there as an authority.
Yeah,
and they don't know.
And we were symbolic of figures of authority in their own lives, because we were
exactly.
Like, as I say, we were like their mothers or their aunts or their grandmothers.
And it just didn't bother you that they were, it didn't stop you from
No, of course not. They were poor, misguided sods. I felt sorry for them.
Well, I think I would as well. They
just joined the army because they were just, you know, like any young person joins the army because they're just lied to and seduced by offers of, you know, learning a trade and learning a skill and seeing the world and all the rest of that stuff they go on about, you know.
Wow.
And we thought, you know, this base was threatening our security and our safety.
Yeah.
I can remember being terrified to listen to the news sometimes, and I would go under the pillows. I would put the pillows over my head so I couldn't hear it.
Wow.
And then I remember thinking there was hearing a plane coming over and thinking it was going to start drop a bomb on us or something.
Right.
You know, I was really, it wasn't like the Cuban Missile Crisis, which was really scary, but it was a very kind of, I can't think what the word is, but we were all very, very aware of the fact that there was this arms race going on between the United States and the USSR. And, you know, and we knew there could just be an accident any minute for a kickoff, you know. And since then, we've been vindicated, because there's some really terrible stories about near misses. That, you know, where nuclear war actually was avoided by, you know, only just avoided.
You just don't know, do you?
You don't know, but you suspect. And it was a really frightening time to be alive.
Yeah.
Well, given that it's bloody frightening now, isn't it? Let's face it. Sorry, excuse me.
That's fine.
But, so I just thought they were misguided fools, really. Kids. I felt sorry for them, but it was, all I'm saying is, I don't want to criticise them especially, and I wasn't thinking about them critically.
No.
I was just noticing the fear on their faces and realising that, you know, the women on this side of the fence were threatening to them.
Yeah, they might not have known that they could find women that threatening.
Yeah, no, never. Never.
That's crazy. Were you scared when you were there that anything was going to happen?
No.
No.
No, I felt very safe there.
Good. That's really good.
As I said, it was this bizarre mixture of joy and humour.
Yeah.
And blind fury.
I can't imagine. imagine it, to be honest.
No, I've never been involved in anything before or since. Because you go on a demonstration, like, you know, go in Hyde Park, all the rest of it, and it's all very jolly. You've got songs to sing, or you sing Maggie, 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 out. Yeah. And it's all very, you know, it's all kind of jolly and it's fellowship, and you're realising, yeah, there's solidarity and other people feel the way that I do. But you know the demonstration's not going to change anything. And you might hear some inspiring speeches at the end, but there's nothing to get angry about. It's just not, you know, it's not to me anyway.
Okay.
But this was just different, really. It was more personal.
So you felt that you had to be there, but...
I did feel I had to be there. Yeah, I wanted to be there.
Definitely.
As much as I could.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It was something that was sort of close to you that you wanted to be a part of, and that you were proud to be there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you were proud to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad I'm remembering it and it's all coming back to me.
Yeah, that's great. It helps me.
Yeah.
I don't think jealous is the right word to use, but I'll maybe never get to experience that myself as a sort of feminist, being somewhere like that and doing something like that.
Well, you never know.
Never know. And I kind of wish that I was there. It's made me think a lot, actually. Was there many men there?
On the demonstrations, there were some.
Right.
But the vast majority were women.
Yeah, of course.
And you can see all the photos of the men.
Question here that says, it seems that aggression and violence from the military and the police was quite prevalent.
I never experienced that.
No, it's quite.
Yeah. And that's as near as I got to the police.
Oh my god.
I'm trying to see if there's photos.
Oh, they do look very young actually now.
Yes, it was the young soldiers behind that were standing behind the fence that impressed
me.
Horses. Yeah.
That's the only way they could be higher than everybody else.
Yeah. Gives them a real psychological advantage being on a horse.
It sounds like it.
There looks like there's quite a few men in that. That was the Aldermaston chain.
Okay. Oh, yeah. People giving directions. So casual, like people just carrying sort of bags and walking down, and there's houses. That's awesome. That's really good. And there's one of them actually smiling, and that for police officer.
Yeah.
I wonder who's looking at the camera. Did a lot of people sort of take photos.
I guess they did, yes. Yeah. There's no photo of me there. I seem to be the one with the camera.
Seems to be.
Yeah.
So that was your photos that you took there when you were there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, these are all photos that I took when I was there, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's
really good. So it wasn't so much snapping of photos then as there is now, where we just take photos of everything all the time.
Yes. I imagine it would have been a lot different now if that happened, because it would have been social media everywhere, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it would have been photos, and it would have been people joining in from everywhere, all over the world. Well, they did anyway, but you can go live feeds now, you can see everything when you're wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
You can be together when you're so far apart. Especially because that's how I've been raised, well, with mobile phones and things. I can't really imagine a time where people didn't have.
No.
I remember phones, like house phones, but before that I can't imagine not having any of that.
No.
Other people, obviously, they lived, that was their teenage years. Do you think that Greenham still plays a part in activism? I don't know if that's a very, if I worded that right or not.
Well, it doesn't exist, does it?
No. What tactics from Greenham do you still see at play in activism and politics? So you don't think there's a lot there?
It's difficult to say because The Greenham Common itself was a place, it was an object that you could go to and demonstrate against and say, you know, we want this base closed down, we want the cruise missiles gone. Whereas there isn't I suppose is there still a United States Air Force base in Air Force base in Scotland?
Not sure, I'll be honest.
Because there were lots of demonstrations there, and I guess they might well have used but I think in a way the tactics have developed because and people are doing things now like going into airfields and stopping flights taking off that have got people who are being forcibly returned, repatriated.
Yeah.
So I think there's people who've been in court for that just recently. So I think, it's hard to say that the tactics, I don't know enough.
No.
Because again, I think you'd probably, that would be a really good question to ask the woman that you're going to interview who actually stayed there.
Okay.
But I think probably the tactics are the same, but they've evolved according to the different situations that people are faced with today.
Right. Okay.
But it's still putting your physical body on the line, isn't it? I mean, all the roads protests and everything, you know, people were chaining themselves to dumpers and things like that, you know, all of those tactics that I think they would have come out of Greenham but evolved to suit the situation. That
makes sense.
Yeah,
it makes a lot of sense. So how does your fear of nuclear weapons sort of compare to when you were there to what you're like now?
It's just part of the environment now. I don't even think about it unless I'm reading a newspaper article or listening to the news, like the latest thing that President Trump has said he's going to withdraw from some treaty, and so now Putin has said he will too, and so, you know, another step nearer very dangerous environment. So you get scared when you hear that kind of thing.
Definitely.
But mostly if you live your whole life with, you know, whatever the fear is, if you live your whole life with it around, eventually it just kind of merges into the wallpaper.
Right.
No. It doesn't keep me awake at night anymore like it used to.
Okay. That's interesting. Just a few more. What did you know about Greenham before you went there?
Nothing.
Nothing, absolutely nothing.
Well, I would have had some information from either from the CND group or from the Students' Union or wherever I found out about it.
Yeah.
That would be it, like maybe one side of A4, nothing. You know.
Okay. How did you sort of feel when you got there? Was it what you expected it?
I didn't know what to expect.
No. I suppose you just don't, you just go into it sort of a bit blind.
I just went open-minded.
That's cool.
I thought it was amazing what they were doing and I just went there to support them.
Yeah, exactly.